Hi, this is Jeff Richards, Columbus, Ohio. You're listening to Barbecue Central.
Let's go!
We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
So to get that perfect barbecue, you use wood. Are you sure it's safe? Whatever. We put the lighter fluid on, strike your match, and... Oh!
Should we call the fire department?
That might be a good idea.
Welcome to the Really Big Barbecue Central Show. This is a show that talks about all things that are important in the world of barbecue and grilling. This show, originating from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame city, Bomb City, USA, and home to the Women's Final Four and Women's Basketball, Cleveland, Ohio. Hey-o! I'm your program host, Greg Griffey. Happy to have you aboard here on your Tuesday evening's Live Fire Fun and Frivolity Show. If you would like to get in contact with the show this evening, or you would like to follow the show during off-show hours, here's how you do all that.
You can get in touch with the show by sending an email to Greg at BBQCentralShow.com. Follow us on all the social media channels at BBQCentralShow. And be sure to subscribe to the show podcast feed on your favorite podcast platform.
Anything else you want to find out about the show can be found at the main website, TheBBQCentralShow.com. And here's what's happening in case you didn't get the newsletter, which you can subscribe to on the main page of the website, TheBBQCentralShow.com. 12 minutes from now, we will be joined by our first Tuesday of the month regular guest, creator, co-creator, out of Barbecue Right, pitmaster of Killer Hogs competition team, our pal and your pal, Malcolm Reed, shall be joining us. We're going to be talking to Malcolm tonight about any number of the following. We'll ask him YouTube poll question of the week. We're also going to be talking to him about why he's not competing in Memphis. I can put a period there, in Memphis. So that would be on both sides of either event, Memphis in May or Smokeslam. We'll talk to him about that and why he decides not to do it. We'll also talk about Rub. We'll talk about the engineering of Rub, the naming of Rub, a whole bunch of good stuff. Plus, he had the folks from Primo in last month, and he had mentioned that there was a unveiling or on Wednesday, or that next day that he was on Wednesday, there was going to be an unveiling of a Primo XXL. I thought I had first looks at that about a year ago at the HPB Expo, but maybe they've done some revisions since then, and he got to see it. So we'll talk all about that and what he likes about cooking on a Primo. So if you have any questions, feel free to pop them in the YouTube chat, and I'll try and mix them in where I can. And then after Malcolm, we'll be joined by a first-time guest, a fellow Clevelander and somebody that's operating in the barbecue space, business, catering, food trucks, pop-ups, Darren W. Carter of Carter's Barbecue. CartersBBQ216.com, his website, if you want to do a little pre-interview research on Darren. So we'll talk about what it's like to get into the barbecue business here in Bomb City, USA, why one would want to do that, what his ultimate goals might be. And he's got a very unique story, somebody that has been doing a daytime job and also moonlighting and then eventually got away from the daytime job and made the moonlight the full-time job. He's also had to battle the pandemic. He was a recipient of the Preserve the Pit last year. So we'll talk about all that fun stuff. So closing the hour, my pal Darren Carter, and then we'll move second hour. He was here last week upon request, sitting in with the embedded correspondents, but back in the second hour during that 14 past the second hour segment, Sam the Cooking Guy is back, believe it or not. Can't believe he's backing it up, but he said he was going to do it. And indeed, he is ready to rock and roll. Plenty to talk about when it comes to Sam. And then closing the show tonight, usually when I'm talking cigars, it is with one of the co-hosts of my favorite cigar podcast, the Cigar Authority podcast, Mr. Jonathan. But tonight we are bucking the trend and going with our very first brand slash maker of cigars, Jeremy Ellis from McAuliffe Cigars. These just happen to be, what do I want to do? No, I'll get it. Listen to that wrapper. These are two of my favorite cigars. You'll notice one is a little longer. This one here, that's the Toro size. And then you have the Robusto size. Both roughly the same ring gauge, but you can tell quickly that the Toro size is an inch longer. What does that mean for you? Longer smoke time, different way the blend hits your palate because it's not in the same format as one another. So we'll talk to Jeremy about what it's like being a territory sales manager for one of the hottest brands out there, especially recently. There's also some kind of a partnership going on with another brand that happened a couple months ago. So plenty to end the show with, talking about premium hand-rolled cigars and one of my favorites currently, that being the McAuliffe Black Line. So once again, Malcolm Reed, Darren Carter in the first hour, and Sam the Cooking Guy and Jeremy Ellis in the second hour. Don't forget, you can follow me socially, Instagram, X, TikTok, Snapchat, all with the handle at BBQ Central Show. And we say good evening to those of you watching tonight through one of our video streaming platforms. You can go to Facebook.com/BBQ Central Show. You can go to Twitter.com/BBQ Central Show, and also over at YouTube.com/@BBQ Central Show, because they have to be different. And because they are different, they earn a new YouTube poll question of the week. And we're asking everybody this. As an adult, have you ever been punched in the face? For real. Answer for real. Have you ever been punched in the face as an adult? 73% of you are saying no. 27% of you are macho. You have done something or maybe not done something and gotten the old sucker punch to the kisser. For me, no. I can't begin to imagine a situation that I would knowingly put myself in that would also allow me to get punched in the face. I have no thought of trying to show how tough I am to somebody. If I feel like there's going to be imminent physicality, even at cresting to 50 years old, I am a very fast runner, not only quick in the sprint, but I can run a good 3.1 miles before I start to tucker out. So in many respects, while I might not be looking to take a punch, I can certainly outrun you in the opposite direction and retreat quicker than the French, if you know what I mean. So we'll see how the rest of that plays out here through the course of the show. And we do have the results of last week's poll question was, if you are competing in the KCBS now, you would question the results as being accurate. And we finished out with 89% of you saying yes and 11% of you saying no. Reaction to the show last week, mixed in topics, of course. Lots of you were dazzled by the Travis Brown interview in the first hour that also bridged into the second hour. The word that seemed to make the most appearances as people were describing it to me through email and direct message, the word intense came up the most. I don't disagree. There was a lot of freely shared information by Travis talking about his background that I didn't expect. I thought his sharing of his father's passing and the cause being acute alcoholism was very bold. Also, his answering the question, how does a 10-year-old or an older version of himself process that loss? Very raw. I thought that was a moment where we all flashed back to when it actually happened, and we were all sharing in that reaction in real time. Very vulnerable of him, and I appreciated that very much. A number of you also mentioned that you took advantage of the $10 ground box, 10 pounds of ground, I think he called it. And you could also add another 5 pounds of meat if you wanted to in there. So another 5 pounds of ground beef if you wanted, or maybe some of the steaks if you were looking to try it. Not a sponsor of the show, but good people who are, in appearance at least, looking to do the right things when it comes to ranching. So certainly I'm all about that. And then, of course, the second portion of emails reacting to Sam the Cooking Guy sitting in for the embedded correspondence last week. I'll say the vast majority like the breakup. I quickly pulled the embedded correspondence after the show because they are most important to me in regards to feeling how the concept went over. Luckily, they all liked it. And yes, they would be honest if they didn't. Of course, there were some of you that thought it bucked the dynamic of how you have come to know and love that segment, but I have never been one to try or not try stuff out just to see how it plays within the show and, of course, with the audience. So, while it might not be something that happens every month, I could certainly see it happening a few times a year. And even then, based on Sam's availability, very busy, owns a business, multi-venture personality, got his hands on a lot of things. So I'm always grateful for the time that he gives to the show, and he's backing it up this week, believe it or not. So you see him in the second hour. Before we get to Malcolm, by the way, who's not in the box, which is scaring me tremendously, we're going to be talking about Schwank Grills. How do we spell it? S-C-H. W-A-N-K, Schwank Grills. Let me start with the promo off this time. Go to schwankgrills.com, and as you pick between the gas-powered models that you can choose from, liquid propane or natural gas, you pick the one, you start to check out, and then it's going to ask you for a promo code if you have one. Well, you do. BBQ Central at checkout. BBQ Central will save you $150 off a Schwank grill. It's that easy to save money and enjoy restaurant quality heat. Now, totally portable. So if you want to take it to the women's Final Four, throw it in the car, drive up here. You can find a number of places to use it that are hotly available. Now, while it will warm to 1,500 degrees, or should I say fire up, because it's got infrared burner technology, you have a number of level settings. So if you know you're going to be cooking something a little bit more delicate and you don't want to have that heat intensity just raining down on it like you would a steak or something else you're really looking to put a hard sear on, you can put it all the way at the bottom if you want. I've mentioned it the last couple weeks. It has a drip tray, so not only is it catching the juice that you might be able to reuse, but you can make a sauce within the drip tray because that heat is cascading down. It can melt butters and other fats. You can season it however you like. And then once the protein's done, I recommend dropping it right in that drip tray as a little bit of a fancy sauce or a board sauce, except it's in the drip tray. Now, you might be asking yourself, who's using this stuff? Lots of influencers around there, but forget about that. Let's talk about real business. You have places like Morton's Steakhouse, Del Frisco's, Cut 432, just to name a few. And remember, at 1,500 degrees, you can build a great crust on both sides of your steak if that's what you're cooking, and you're not overcooking it. Just a really great sear, really great crust. You can do burgers, you can do lobster tails, you can do chicken, all in a breakneck speed. And speed isn't sacrificing quality, no way. Look here on the video, shish kebabs if you want. Everybody loves shish kebabs, whole fish. Here's the most important part again. Take advantage of it. Now, many of you have. You're telling me how much you love it, which I certainly appreciate. So I want to keep saving you $150 every month from here to forever. Go to schwankgrills.com, schwank, S-C-H-W-A-N-K, grills.com, and then use code BBQCentral at checkout. We'll track down Malcolm Reed here in just a second. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Barbecue Central Show. broadcasting live from the Barbecue Central Show studios in Cleveland, Ohio. You're listening to the Barbecue Central Show. Once again, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
Hey, welcome back. This portion of the show being brought to you by cookandpellets.com. Your number one source for quality wood pellets for all your pellet-driven cookers. You visit cookandpellets.com. You get all the information you want. You see what kind of great products that they have to offer. And then when you're ready to buy, head on over to amazon.com or lowes.com or walmart.com. Same great selection of products, except they have much better shipping rates than cookandpellets.com can offer you. So use cookandpellets.com as the reference material to see exactly what they have, and then go to the big websites for great shipping rates and the same products, amazon.com, walmart.com, lowes.com, and you can take it from there. I have been trying to... Oh, dude. No! Where's my ba ba boo-hai sound effect? Where is it at? Where is it? Here we go. Oh. Can't even hear it. Hold on. Let's go in here. No! Yes. Oh, dear. So while we were in break, I said, hey, quick email off to Malcolm. How quick, you might ask? Subject line, we're on. Shift, hold number one down. That's the exclamation point. Anywho, text message, same thing. Just got message back. I can be there in 15. We set it up. I have everything ready to go. Got sidetracked. Uh-oh. Yeah. Well, 15 minutes ain't going to cut it because that only leaves 3 minutes of interview time. So let me just text Malcolm back. No time for the interview. All right. Well, friends and neighbors, I have terrible news. If you're just tuning in and you were looking for Malcolm Reed, it's not happening tonight. Oh, curses. We had him. We almost had him. No, we didn't. I wonder if every sound effect on this board, how did that happen? I got nothing on there. All right. Well, luckily I don't really use that one, so that's fine. Here's a bit of advice. As we say, word of the wise. If you're running a live show, even when you have your best guests, the ones that have showed up for 10 years or more, right? What can you never do as the host? You can never count on anybody ever. Get that big stuff out of here. What do I mean by that? You always have to have something prepared just in case something like this happens, so you can seamlessly transition into something else to fill 15 minutes of time. Now, you could sit here and complain and whine and moan and all that stuff, but who cares about that? Not your problem, my problem. Well, the good news is this. Smokin' Joe's Barbecue Pit wants to hear about our Easter. Joe, it takes about 6 seconds, went to a brunch and came home. That's it. Well, we do need to update you on the YouTube poll question of the week, and voting is hot and heavy. I had a feeling. I put this question down, and I said, well, this isn't that great of a question. And then the more the days wore into the show tonight, I said, I really like this question. In fact, I heard somebody talk about it on nationally syndicated radio today. YouTube poll question of the week, by the way, is, as an adult, have you ever been punched in the face? And be for real, if you want to vote, you do have to go over to the YouTube show page, which is youtube.com/@BBQCentralShow. Don't forget the at. youtube.com/@BBQCentralShow, where you can vote. And 80% of you are saying no. You have never been punched in the face. I thought it might be a little bit more 50-50. I think my audience is a little bit more macho, a little bit more provocative, a little bit more irreverent in that realm, if I might say. But in the end, I'm glad to say that all of you are perhaps more lovers than fighters, and perhaps even more than that. You can read a room. You're not putting yourself in a situation where somebody's natural reaction is to punch you in the face for something that you said. They might want to talk it out a little bit. Maybe they just walk away. Or maybe you are word wise. You know how to use your words. You are constantly evaluating the environments that you're in. You realize maybe you're stepping into a hostile environment. So you're just going to dial it back right from jump. That's me. I'm not there at all. Matt Osmond wondering if we'll hear from Greg's parents. Will we listen to Greg got his new graphic? Will there be a mini rant about Kingsford? I don't have a call in line. So Matt, there is a 0% chance that my parents are going to be calling in. New graphic right there. The bug, I think, is what the industry term is. It was something I just found within the software. I'm just trying it out. Everybody saw it. I saw it pop up there on the instant chat, which I certainly appreciate. Everybody likes that. And that carries over into the other boards, too. So you can see it. It's a little bit smaller. I didn't know if it was going to carry over from one shot to the next, but it does. By the way, that's Malcolm Reed's shot there, in case you didn't notice. Malcolm, no, still not there. No, indeed not. Malcolm Reed, still not there. But we're working through. So, and no mini rant about Kingsford. I have no mini rant. Their marketing is good. Traeger's marketing, good. I will get to my take that I didn't get to last week in the second hour on what Traeger was doing and why there's some murkiness still. But I'm not going to sit here and pound on Kingsford. If they want to sell two different kinds of charcoal, one they've already done before, that low and slow, I believe, then that's their prerogative. For some reason, I feel like Kingsford isn't putting anybody over a barrel to any extent. And time will tell on that. Actually, I could reach out to somebody who's a spokesperson for Kingsford and see what they know about retail price. Now, instead, what I have, do I have it? I don't know how this is going to show. Let me see. And this was something that nobody ever thought about. I have to get my... I guarantee nobody thought that the last 10 minutes of this segment, sans Malcolm Reed, was going to go in this direction. Here's where we're forced. Because I'm always here to give you new content no matter what. A week ago, this past Friday, I went in and had something done just in case somebody didn't show up so I could talk about it. How about that? Now, look right there. See that? See this? Can you see that? Right, everybody can see it. Now, look, if you're listening on audio podcast, you're not going to be able to see it. You have to go back and get the video. But just past my ear right there, see it, right? You can see it, yeah. You're like, what is that? That's drilled into my skull. I don't know how many of you go back to the show like 3, 4, 5 years ago. Number of you do. I've been through some ear surgeries over the last 5 years, and there's been a... At first, it was trying to find the right ear person. I went to some doctors. They must have thought I was a spy because they were digging in my ear like I had the world's secrets and I was holding them. They were going to drag it out of me. But I finally found the right ear doctor. And he said, "What? When did you have such trauma to your ear? Like, did you fall off a cliff and smack on the water directly on the ear or some other type of traumatic event? Because what I'm seeing inside the ear is typically coming in from an ear traumatic event." And I said, I mean, short of diving in high school, but not competitively. I did like high dives, was very adept at the diving, flips, twists, whatnot. But never had a serious event, a couple back smacks, but never on the side of my head. I never jumped off a cliff and landed wrong. Nothing like, I was never abused and smacked as a kid with open hand by either my mother or my father, nor any of my siblings smacked me in my left ear to the point where I might have been concussed and then suffered such ear trauma. So nobody can figure out where that's coming from. However, I did notice an increasingly loud whooshing noise in my ear, and I thought it would go away, and I suffered with it, and then saw this doctor, and he said, "Well, the mushing or the whooshing is one thing. However, you have this thing in your ear, the top of your eardrum, called the claustiatoma. So the eardrum is sucked back into the inner ear, and a piece of skin or something got in that little attic and has now started to grow. It's probably been there for years. And I'm glad that you've decided to come in because in not soon, I'm not going to try and make this out like poor me, because trust me, far from poor me. But he said, "Hey, you know, you just suffer with the white noise. This thing continues to grow. It grows back through your head. Eventually it will sever your left facial nerve. So then the left side of my face goes paralyzed, like I had a stroke. And then eventually, now I'm talking 20 years, 25 years, it eventually eats all the way back through your head, gets into your brain, and then kills you. So yes, your humble host, nearly averted death." Not really. But if I wouldn't have checked it or gotten it checked or bothered to do anything about it, you know, in my 70s, I not only would have had a paralyzed left side of my face wondering why the hell that happened, I would also be dead. Now, dead in the mid-70s, I can make arguments for or against. I'm of the mindset, always better to be the guy that said, "You know, Greg Rippey, gone too soon." Instead of being the guy that, "You know, that motherfucker won't die. I want to be gone a little too soon than have worn out my welcome, if you know what I mean." So anyway, let's get back to it. Doctor said, "Hey, if we can do this one kind of surgery where we're going to take down the eardrum, we're going to go look in the middle ear where the hearing bones are, see what's happening there. Then we'll rebuild the eardrum. There's a really good chance your hearing comes back up to normal. And we'll go from there." Oh, sounds great. So I have no idea what the hell he did, but he stuck very small tools in my ear and worked them like a magician. I had no pain. And when they got through the other side of the eardrum, whatever that first hearing bone is and the Inca or the stapes, whatever the hell you call it, was worn away. Completely gone. He's like, "Well, here's a hearing issue because part of that connection isn't being made." They put in a hearing bone prosthetic, if you can believe. So then it, what am I trying to say? Fell out of place. The hearing didn't get any better and the claustiatoma came back. Oh no. So a year later, we did it all again, just like the way I said it. And a year later, it didn't take. Not only did it not take, the claustiatoma came back again. And he said, "Well, we can try it again." I said, "I think I've had enough. Well, we can do this more invasive surgery where we're going to do a lot of the same stuff, except on the way out, we're going to increase the size of the hole in your left ear. So while I am wearing this in-ear monitor, it doesn't fit. It barely fits in because this was custom made to my original ear hole. And now I have a much bigger one. In fact, it's a safer ear after many rechecks over the last couple of years. No claustiatoma. That's most important. So good for that. And the downside is it's a straight shot into from right into the beginning of the ear on the exterior of the ear going right in to my eardrum. So when it's windy or when I went swimming in the ocean or swimming in the swim spa or whatever, the water will slam into my ear and it's a direct shot into the eardrum and now I'm off kilter. Same thing with really cold wind. Drives right up my ear and I can lose my balance a little bit because, you know, stability and balance in your inner ear. So I was at the doctor for my checkup, end of the year, and he said, well, looks like the hearing bone has become dislodged again, and that's why the hearing hasn't gotten any better. Maybe it's gotten worse. So they were cleaning out the ear. He looked back in, and he said, well, hearing bone's gone. How could that be? It's behind the eardrum. So they were rooting through some of the ear gunk that they took out. Lo and behold, with very small tweezers, pop, there it is, the hearing bone, the prosthetic hearing bone. Came through the eardrum somehow, never had any pain. He said, the good news is this, came through the eardrum, has healed itself perfectly. I don't even have to do anything to fix it. I said, great. He said, you're a candidate for a hearing bone implant. I said, well, what's that? He said, well, we're going to put this thing in your skull. This thing right there. This bolt. We'll put that in your skull. And then a month after that, we're going to put, you know, what looks to be like a mini speaker on your head. It's going to click right in there. This isn't a cochlear implant. This is a hearing bone implant. And I'll have like a little speaker sitting right here that will catch the sound and then it transmits it right into the hearing bone, whatever the hell you call it. All I know is they took me into the operating room. They put me out. They drilled the pilot hole into my skull and then they put this thing in there. They said, don't worry about it. It's not going to hurt. Tylenol and Advil for pain if you have any. And to the guy's credit, it didn't hurt at all. Nothing. So now in like 3 weeks, I'll go to the audiologist. We'll get they're calling it a speech processor. So I'll be able to hopefully hear much better. There's been 99 people out of 100 that have great success with this. I'm just hoping for a little bit better hearing. I'm not worried about the aesthetic. I mean, look at me. Do you think I care? And then I'm getting a TV streaming device. So you hook it up to the television, you Bluetooth it within the app because everything's got an app. And then it's going to stream the sound from the TV to my speech processor. And I can control the volume of the TV on the app. And you don't have to even touch the volume on the TV at all, number one. And then I'll have like a microphone that you see on all the videos anymore on Instagram. It'll clip to your shirt. And you'll talk, it'll pick it up, and it'll send it right to my ear speech processor. Also, Bluetooth to the phone. So if you call me, I can have your audio go through my speech processor. And then as I'm talking on the microphone picks up my voice and sends my voice back through the phone. I mean, how high tech is this? It's wonderful. What are we? Look at this age we're living in. I can have both ends of the spectrum. I can have hardware installed in my head, much like it would be in the 70s. And then I can have speech processors and Bluetooth connectivity and all this other shit on my phone to hear. So I don't need a hearing aid. Like, I don't know, we could discuss whether you think having a hearing aid is aesthetically more pleasing than having this bolt on my head. Once again, if you're just tuning in, and you missed it, you have to go back on the video to get the archive. And if you're listening on audio and you want to see what I'm talking about on my head, then you go and catch the video archive after the show has ended. So we'll see how it's going to work out. And now that you know, now that I went to make sure I had a piece of content ready to go, just in case, so I was not going to talk about this. Now we're all up to speed. We're all sharing in my hearing deficiencies together. Not only am I aesthetically displeasing, my hearing is at a 0.0 in my left ear.
Get that big stuff out of here.
Darren W. Carter is ready to go. Looking forward to chatting with him. You tired of settling for mediocre grilling experiences? Yes, you are. It's time to step your game up and bring the ultimate flavor and cooker to the backyard barbecues and grilling sessions. Pits and Spits Charcoal Grills offering the highest quality live fire cooking experience you can get the market today. Using either wood or charcoal, their solid fuel grills produce those classic flavors you're looking for when you have the time to fire up the grill and cook for family and friends. With a large adjustable fuel tray, you can raise and lower your fire to control and fine-tune the heat. Their take on the very popular Santa Maria style grill. So if you've been in the market but you don't really like a full Santa Maria style grill, but you like the concept of the Santa Maria style grill, then Pits and Spits is the one you want. Check them out online, pitsandspits.com/BBQ Central. That's pitsandspits.com/BBQ Central, all spelled out. Remember, double T on the Pits and the Spits. And you can use promo code charcoal central, not BBQ Central. Charcoal Central on this one, and you can save the same $150 off that you would save on the Schwank when you use BBQ Central over there. Charcoal Central for Pits and Spits will save you $150 off. Head on over there right now and fall in love with the only charcoal grill that you will ever need to buy again in your whole life and your kids' life. Food trucks, food barbecue catering, and pop-ups, and it's all right here in Bomb City, USA. Have I teased you enough? Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Barbecue Central Show. Stern, Jim Rome, Dan Patrick, and Greg Rampey. The Mountain Rushmore of talk show entertainment. Now, let's get back to the Barbecue Central Show.
All right, welcome back. This portion of the show being brought to you by Fireboard 2, Fireboard 2 Drive, and Fireboard 2 Pro. You can monitor up to 6 different temperatures simultaneously. You can connect to Wi-Fi for cloud-based monitoring or connect via Bluetooth. I had my first very successful Fireboard Drive long cook. So if you have the Fireboard Drive and you have a ceramic cooker especially and you're struggling with it, reach out to me. I have 2 or 3 tips that perhaps nobody is telling you about because there's not a lot of great YouTube videos yet up on it, but I might actually post some. So fireboard.com is the place to go to get one. And if you have questions, 816-945-2232 to ask questions. That's the good folks over at Fireboard. My next guest tonight has been, well, I guess I should say my first guest tonight, has been doing the food truck catering pop-up thing barbecue-wise since 2019. He's been doing it here in Cleveland, no less. While you will rarely hear any negativity coming from me when it comes to Bomb City, USA, it's hard for me to make a great case that a barbecue business is something that can easily succeed here in town because 7 months out of the year, it's freezing cold. And if you aren't replete with a dining room, you aren't going to find many people in town looking to line up outside, no matter how good the food is. So I am happy to welcome a first-timer to the show, a co-owner of Carter's Barbecue, my pal Darren W. Carter, joining me here on the show. Darren, we have a YouTube poll question of the week that we're asking everybody before we get going here this evening, which is this. As an adult, have you ever been punched in the face for real? Yes or no?
Absolutely not.
Oh. Good. All right. Well, 75% of the YouTube voting public has also not been punched in the face, which means 25% of my audience has been punched in the face. And voting is feverishly continuing over at YouTube. So if you want to vote there, get on over to the YouTube page and vote. Darren Cleveland, born and bred?
Yes, sir. 216 is in my blood, man. Thank you.
East side, west
side?
By
the way, east side. I mean, you know, when I was little, going to the west side was like going into Detroit. It was like such a difference. But yeah, east side.
East side is the best side. That's what we say.
It is. It is.
Before getting into the barbecue business, Darren, were you doing other stuff professionally? I had mentioned you were kind of a moonlighter at this for a while. So what else were you into?
Actually, I was down at it's Cleveland Cliffs now. It was ArcelorMittal, excuse me, before, but we all know it here in Cleveland as LTV Steel, you know, the LTV Steel. So I was making steel, and I did that for about, I think, 7 years before I left. And it was great pay. I didn't like it, but it was great. The benefits were great. I was able to do a lot for my family. But you know, when your heart isn't in it and you are around something that's so dangerous, you got to take a second look at what you're doing.
Were you messing around with the furnaces and stuff?
I wasn't in the furnace. I was in what they called the caster. So what we did was actually took the liquid form of it and casted it to a solid slab. Mm. And, you know, to have a breakout or overflow or a mold or, you know, that kind of, that's not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. You know, 28 plus 1,000 degree, 100 degree steel spewing everywhere is not a good thing.
Yeah, you could wind up with a burn.
A little one. Yeah. A little one. And it you know, I was old, but I wasn't, you know, meal old. And then I already had some issues going in, but it quickly, you know, my health, it just went on the decline and deteriorated. I had the shoulder, I had to get my shoulder surgery, rotator cuff, and I still really need this one. I'm just not getting it. My foot was an issue. Dehydration became an issue. It just, what other issues I had got worse. So after a while, because this decision was kind of, it wasn't made on a whim, but it kind of happened on a whim. We had a 3 to 5 year plan about how I was going to finish out. But the business was, you know, the barbecue business was good. And I missed more working, you know, the first year when we were doing the part time. That probably could have made up, you know, before what we were doing. But with the sense of all the injuries and some other things going on, at that time, I was on sickness and accident because my foot had just came out of cast. And I just looked at my wife one day. I was like, I just cannot go back there. We had saw somebody that we don't know, but a Clevelander, David Arnold. I don't know if you're familiar with him, the comedian from Cleveland. We had just saw him in his Christmas Netflix special the year before. And one day we saw him, you know, talking about what he's going to do for the week. And then we wake up and he's gone. He's dead. So with that, depending issues with my body and, you know, some other things, we were just like, I can't go back. And I didn't. So that was January 23rd of last year. So last year was a good year. Now that you mentioned it in the intro, winters are difficult here, but there are places where we can set up that people still kind of, you know, they still kind of do well, but you have to plan for it. They ran for it. A lot of trucks here in Cleveland, they do shut down, but you know, our local truck parks like Beechwood and Lakewood, they stay open and they are attended. So you just have to make sure though that you prepare, you know, when it's bountiful for when the winter comes.
You always into live fire cooking, even when you were growing up? Was your family into it?
I was a watcher at the time. My father, you know, we had the barrel grill, the 55 gallon cut in half. So it wasn't, as we know it now, offset or anything. It was all just, you know, hot and fast. We had to put it in vinegar overnight, the ribs or whatever we were doing. So they get tenderized that way. So as we cook them over the coals, just flip, flip, flip. So I was just enamored that he was the man when he was on the grill. You know, that's what I saw. You know, everybody couldn't wait for, you know, Carter to get done with the, you know, stuff off the grill. That's what I wanted. I wanted that. I wanted to grow up, have a, you know, family, 2.5 kids, a dog and a picket fence, and do some barbecue. And I did that, you know, without the picket fence and some other things. But it just ended up, when I did get a family and started to go into some things, I found a Pitmaster show. And once I saw one of the Pitmaster shows, I was like, what is this thing, this offset they're talking about? What is this layers of flavor? And what is this smoke stuff I'm hearing about? And from there, that's when I went down a rabbit hole. You know, that's when I got my own little barrel, but, you know, put the coals on one side. This barrel was really horrific, but it's still in my backyard, though, by the way. You know, putting the coals on one side, it has no vent. So I had to kind of like creep open the bottom and drill the hole on the other end. And from there, just started to go down a rabbit hole, man. And ever since, it has been a piece that I can enjoy when everything else in my life is going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Yep. Something about the crackling of the fire is, you know, it's just it's a calming thing, and the time it takes. And I am a very impatient person, very. But when it comes to barbecue, I don't mind doing the all night cooks. You know, it gets a little tiring the day after, but you know, I don't mind that. I don't mind the process that it takes for a brisket to take. I don't mind, you know, the thought process it goes into to try to make a rub for something to fit what it needs to fit. So I found my river. I had found my river, and we've been going pretty good from there.
You have a favorite barbecue restaurant in Cleveland outside of Carter's Barbecue?
In Cleveland, outside of Carter's Barbecue, favorite?
Doesn't have to be now, open something existing, but it could be one that shut down too. No. So.
Okay, now this is what I say. I grew up on a lot of the older ones, Whitmore's, Hot Sauce Williams, Webb's. Webb's is where I learned. Webb's is closed down. It used to be on 93rd and Union. That's where I learned about rib tips.
I think all those are closed down that you just mentioned, right?
Pretty much. Whitmore's is still open. They have one.
That one in Euclid?
Whitmore's in Euclid. No. They have one on in Harvard, Harvard and Green, I think is Harvard and Emory or something like that. And there's that building is still there. Mount Pleasant, you know, Kim's, of course, but they're not barbecue, but they're more, you know, wings. And then you have Open Pit, you know, but they've changed hands so many times. The name is still there, but the recipes aren't. But I would have to say, shoot. I don't know. I would have to go. Shoulder sandwiches I always got from Whitmore's. Wings, as you know, that's Cleveland barbecue, black barbecue. You got to have wings. I don't, but you got to have wings. Would be Open Pit. And I had to stick with where I fell in love with the tips with Webb's. Webb's barbecue. And then there was Dawson's barbecue. I used to eat those a lot when I was younger too. Yeah.
So you started.
You got a rich history.
Oh, I mean the Cleveland barbecue history is, you know, decades old, and sure. 2019, you get into the barbecue business, and I was, as somebody who was having both feet in two different careers at the time, how did you navigate the pandemic successfully?
Thankfully, at that point. See, 2019, we had just started, and we were just selling rib dinners. So that's how we just started out, selling rib dinners. And it got to a point where it was like, okay, wow, we're going to step this up, you know, a little bit. 2020 was going to be a breakout year for us. And then, you know, as that year that we don't like the name, which we just did, came about, but then COVID hit, we throttled down. Because work was always changing with schedule. And, you know, we were doing it like we weren't supposed to be doing in the beginning out of our home. So that did a lot for us just to throttle. We would just do something here and there. So it was like, okay, 2020. All right. So we didn't do it then. Let's break out in 2021. That's when we were going to, you know, find how we were going to ramp this up. That's when I got knocked out for a whole year of barbecue and work with the shoulder surgery for my rotator cuff. But it was at that point that we were like, okay, you know, obviously something's going to happen. This is not going away. What are we going to do? So we looked and see how we could get funding to try to figure out a way to move this forward. And we figured a food truck would be the best way because we're not doing a brick and mortar. We weren't that business savvy, but we knew at least a food truck was low overhang and, you know, overhead, and we can go wherever we wanted to with it. It was mobile. It was a good thing. I didn't need to have everything in there. I just needed my smoker. We're good to go. So we started a campaign for Honeycomb Credit. It is a crowdfunding campaign, but this one is not like, you know, a GoFundMe or an investment where you get equity. This one is we paid you back with interest. So whatever our rate was, we was able to pay you back interest. So, you know, if it was 10%, just to say a number, you give us $100, you get 110 back, you know, over the course of time. And if you were going to, and at that point we liked it because we're saying if you're going to, because we were denied traditionally, by the way, if you thought about enough of us to give us the minimum 100 or even more, well, yeah, we going to work to make sure that you get what you get back and more. And it worked. It was able to get us enough money to put down a down payment on the trailer, put a down payment on our smoker, and get everything going. And if it wasn't for a Honeycomb, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you about doing, you know, trailer barbecue.
What's the hardest thing you had to learn over the last couple of years, you know, outside of the pandemic, and now you're trying to build the business doing it full time? What's the hardest thing you've learned that you would tell somebody else?
Timing. For with me, and I still haven't learned it yet, is when, you know, for cooking for me, having time to make sure that cook, that I, you know, can get some rest and all that kind of stuff, because barbecue is not like, you know, a regular food truck. You got some little prep, but you can cook on the truck and you're good to go. No, ours is already have to be done by the time we get there. But timing and making sure all of your P's and Q's, your licenses, your insurances, all that is in order, because, you know, the money's in the paperwork. If you don't have the paperwork, then you're going to be ended up losing some money somewhere. And, you know, it's good that people believe you, and it's good that people support you, which they will, but only you really see the vision. And you have to keep that with you. It's like a dream. Nobody can get in your head and see your dream. And as much as the people want to help you 110%, it's still your dream. You know, hold on to that and let the people realize that through you too, as well, the people that are supporting you. That was a big factor to me. And it also stops you from being disappointed if somebody can't see what you see, but they can't, because it's in you. But a lot of times I think when we try to explain our dream, when we tell somebody and they don't grasp it, like we don't think they should, that is, you know, that they're not really supporting or whatever. No, it's just that they just don't see that part of the dream for you. But they can't, and they're not supposed to.
You were a recipient of the Preserve the Pit last year, 2023, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. 2023 Preserve the Pit program. It is the third year, so I'm one of 12, I think, over the 3 years. And it is poised to help the people in the Black community keep the preservation of our history in barbecue. And what the program does, it hits us up with mentors that are, you know, big in the game. We have Rashia Jones, Rasheed Phillips, my mentor, Kevin Bledsoe, friend of the show, I believe, right?
Absolutely.
Pat Neely and, you know, and some others. Brian Furman. And these are, you know, heavy hitters in the barbecue community and what they're doing in their businesses. And we are, you know, we are allotted and able to talk with them and, you know, get business sense, get barbecue sense, anything to make us successful. Amy, she was one, I mean, her, how she broke down finances for us and some type of things was just like, it was wonderful, you know. So some of those things that you may know and you may not know, but you always get something as somebody who's been in the business for a long time and could tell you the pitfalls. And there was a stipend that went with it. There was a grant that came with it, which is great. And then we, you know, we build a relationship. Now, you know, our particular class, we're close. We still talk over text. We're still able to call our mentors at any and, you know, every time. Get a little charcoal here and there when you need it, which is great. And yeah, they came up with those two new charcoal bags. I refrain to comment from that. But, you know, it was, I appreciate especially what all is going through. And I would love to say that it was all my barbecue prowess and what I cook on the smoker, but it wasn't. A big reason was because of the podcast that we have called The Unknown Black Pit Masters. And that is a podcast that I do on Instagram that we highlight black barbecue enthusiasts and pit masters all over the land, whether it's somebody in business like me, a backyard savant, or somebody like a Kevin Bledsoe, you know, all in between. And we're just trying to build a community. For one, you know, we have had a huge part in America's barbecue, you know, and I just don't want that to be forgotten. I don't want when people just say, oh, barbecue, well, then it's just Central Texas or the Carolinas or, you know, Kansas City barbecue. And even when you think of Kansas City barbecue, people don't know who we consider, you know, the godfather of Kansas City barbecue, yeah. Henry Perry. So it's something that's easily lost in our society today. So what we try to do there is highlight people so they won't be lost. So that's my purpose for that. And that was a big sustaining reason for it as well. But it was a great summer. We got to go down to Memphis in May. Finally got to meet Chef Simon down in Memphis in May. And, you know, just the camaraderie of it all and the business sense of it all. The first night we were there, I was talking to Rashid and Kevin because I was like, look, these people, you know, you got so many people. This is what they want us to do. This is how they want us to do it. And this is what we were thinking. And basically they wanted just to kick me out the shop because I was not charging enough. Not enough. So they got me straight. And, you know, it was not a problem for the company that, you know, that we were doing the catering for. But it showed me something and knowing my worth, knowing what mm-hmm. we're doing, you know, how much it takes to what we're doing with the time, the money, you know, prices have risen even since then, you know, but they were high even at that point. But, yeah, that kind of stuff is invaluable. It's invaluable. And it's something that shortens our learning curve, the people that, you know, were fellows with me. And hopefully I can do the same for somebody else who has a question. You know, each one, reach one. Dude, I got the information. I'm not a gatekeeper. If it'll help you be successful, well, then let's go. Let's go.
What are you setting up? If people are going to be in town for Women's Final Four this weekend, where can they get at you?
We have, tomorrow we have Beachwood. This week, actually, we have nothing to do this weekend, but Sunday we're at Creative Space in, that's in, Willowick on, Lakeshore. Yeah. Thank you. Lakeshore Boulevard. But I got a couple of fillers out trying to get downtown for there. Cause you know, got to get that money some kind of way. I'm not sure, but my website will keep you up to date, you know, as we do anything. And that's the best way to find out our schedules on our website.
And that's cartersbbq216.com, or you can follow him on Instagram as well. Cartersbbq216, the handle there as well. Darren, appreciate the insight here this evening and continued success. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me on the show. You know, I still owe you that lunch though. You still got to come get that lunch.
Don't worry. I'll be looking for it. All right, pal. Thanks for coming on. There he is. Darren W. Carter. Again, the website, Carters, plural, CartersBBQ216.com and on Instagram at CartersBBQ216. So give him a follow. Always love when good things are happening in Cleveland, especially when it's barbecue and grilling related. You mentioned some bangers as far as staples of Cleveland barbecue. I'm not going to say Cleveland style, but barbecue places within Cleveland. Webb's, Whitmore's, Hot Sauce, Mount Pleasant. I mean, nobody says Mount Pleasant. Bangers right there. All right, we're a little over, so we're going to play a little catch up here and then we'll get to the second hour. So I'd mentioned when we were talking about the fireboard that I used the Primo this past weekend. And what did I do? Something I haven't cooked in 5 years. What? A brisket? What? Fire? Look, I'm not the only one in the house. If it was just me in the house, I would be cooking brisket once a week. Not everybody here is digging the brisket, but Bobby came home. A lot of boyfriends, a lot of stuff for Easter going on here. Not the actual day itself, Joe, but just because also there was a holiday on Sunday. So Friday into Saturday, 4 pork butts go on the Traeger Timberline A50 and a 10-pound brisket, well-trimmed from Mr. Brisket, but I paid for it. Nothing for free from Mr. Brisket, of course. But went on, locked in the fireboard, and that Primo, accommodated that really big piece of meat without issue because I have the XL, the oval shape, really accommodates the bigger cuts. And man, once the ceramics were heated up, I don't know if that thing budged off of 225 for 11 hours. I had a whole different method that I used. And while I am no brisket expert, finished product was really good. Very good. Everybody was happy with it. What are you worried about? All the time, blah, blah, blah. We're going to make brisket more often. I mean, don't fool me. I know. You can do it as well. Everybody's looking to get a Primo now all of a sudden, by the way. PrimoGrill.com. That's PrimoGrill.com. Only sold through dealers. Find one near you. That's PrimoGrill.com. See all the different size ovals. Buy the one that is best for you, and then away you go. Primo. Of course, now with the XXL, we're trying to line up Nick Bauer to talk about that here in the next month or so. We're back to wrap the first hour right after this. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Continuing to produce incredibly mediocre content in an exceptionally professional way. You're listening and watching the Barbecue Central Show. Once again, here's your host, Greg Rampe.
All right, we thank Darren Carter for joining us last segment. Carter's BBQ 216, that's the Cleveland area code, in case you didn't know that. CartersBBQ216.com, the website, CartersBBQ216 on Instagram, so give him a follow. And I would love to say we enjoyed our visit with Malcolm Reed, but it slipped his mind this month. A shame. We'll move most of those questions over to next month, except even the May one, I think, will work out. Since it'll be beginning of May when we have him on. Yeah, fine. Good enough. All right, we're pointing to the second hour. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Barbecue Central Show.